Hey, and welcome back to another episode of the No More Leadership BS podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Geyer, and I'm here with Myra Hall, Dr. Sam Jennings, Jeff Geoff McLaughlin, and Jeff Conroy. You know us. You've been listening to the podcast, and we love it. We know that you're out there searching for leadership ideas, searching for people that you know, like, and trust that can help you overcome the challenges that you have. And we are blessed that you are listening to us. We want to get right into it today. We are in the front end of 2024. How about that? Wow. 2024. And so maybe 2023 went well. Maybe it didn't. Maybe if you're a leader, you always want it to be better. Even if last year was great, you want this year to be even better. And certainly if last year, you know, sucked, you certainly want it to be better. So today I wanted to talk about in this episode, guys, how do we make adjustments to get to where we want to go? Not the mechanics exactly of how you make the adjustment. What's the mindset behind it? And what I was thinking about is if 2024 is the breakout year, you know that your department or your business or your organization, this is going to be it. And we're going to make huge changes. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it's all going to result in all this amount of success. And is that really how leadership approaches making changes, making incremental changes to get to the results they want? And I'm thinking about the old aviation thing that if you're flying a plane and your destination is X out there somewhere, and if you're headed towards that on your route, and if you're 1 degree off of the direction that you need to go, if you fly 60 miles and you're 1 degree off, by the time you get to where your destination is or where you thought it was, you're going to be a mile off course. So that 1 degree deflection, which isn't very much, right? If you stay on it for 60 miles, you're going to be a mile off. Clearly, if you stay on it for longer, you're going to get farther off. And so my thoughts were, and they were when I was leading organizations too, is we have to make change, but they're not big wholesale changes. They're adjustments, small 1, maybe 2 degree adjustments. And Dr. Sam, I'm really excited to hear your take on this because I know in your leadership experience, you've made lots of adjustments.
Yes, there's been lots of tweaks and sometimes during the play, sometimes well in advance. The piece that we continue to look at was it's fun to brainstorm, right? Let's get a whole bunch of interesting ideas out there from small, tiny tweaks to giant incremental or giant wholesale change. And what it always got down to was, how do we know what works? Not what are we measuring, but if we change 8 things, how do we know what actually was effective? It wasn't the combination. Was it one of the others and the other 6 were just kind of dead noise? So even though there are some good ideas that pop up, we always whittle it down to 1 or 2 things. Let's just tweak a little bit and see where that takes us. And there's an old example about the U.S. economy. You know, there's not one big fix-it lever. There's just a whole bunch of little dials. So same idea, little adjustment, make a tweak and see where it takes you. And if that is 1 mile off course, adjust. If you're on track, great. And also, when you get there a little bit faster next time. And I love the small adjustments. It requires patience. And sometimes people who have titles such as shareholder don't have patience. They want income. But if you want to run an effective organization, you focus on the purpose, not the outcome.
Ooh, that's good, Sam. I like the imagery of the one fix-it lever. That one fix-it lever does not exist. It'd be really cool if it did, huh, Conroy? You've never had a one lever you could pull that fixed everything, did you?
Never. And quite honestly, what's always worked for me is the grand old fix-all is communication. Talk to people. As things are going along, talk to your people. Talk to the customers. Talk to the board members. Just how are things going? What do you think? What are going down? Is this good? And if the numbers don't show they're going in the right direction, that's when you go back to your people and say, yeah, this we're off, as you to use your analogy, if we're off 1 degree, we're off a mile. How do we get back on course? What do you think? And always ask for feedback. Feedback is your biggest friend, be it from your staff, be it from the customer, be it from the board. They will always tell you what's going on, and that's your canary in the mine.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. Now the imagery in my mind, Jeff, is it's, you know, January of a new year and we've made these adjustments. And so we just go on and you never ask anybody how it's going. You never check to see if you're getting the results you thought you were going to get. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Myra, we know there isn't one fix it lever, although, you know, communication is a big lever that you can use, as Jeff was just talking about. What else do you think we can do to get over as leaders, to get over this idea that we have to fix everything, we have to change everything to get to where we want to go?
You know, I want to jump ahead just a little bit. And the heartbreak of thinking you've arrived and you find out you're in the wrong spot, that you've put all kinds of effort into it and you had your goal in mind and you get there, like in getting on the plane, thinking you're going to Hawaii and you end up in Japan. You know, this is not what you had in mind. And now what do I do to fix it? That is pure heartbreak. And it has caused great corporations to dissolve. But going back to when that first starts, because it starts by small incremental steps, getting off course, I'm going to make a shameless plug for coaches. Because as Sam tells us over and over, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. Yep. And you may not even know that you're going off course. And a coach will help you take the little steps towards your goal. I like to say big dreams, little goals. And you know where you want to go, but getting there is where we need somebody to help us see missteps or see potential missteps and just offer guidance for making. And there's 100 different ways you can make that slight turn, you know, but if you just focus on the long term and you get there and it's not where you want it to be, because let's face it, things change. What hasn't changed that made you need to tweak your course a little bit? And to me, that is one of the biggest values of coaching. It's invaluable.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. I'm a flyer, so I like aviation, and I think the analogies work pretty good. Yeah, I set the course to go to wherever I wanted, and I set that course based on all the information I had, weather and forecast winds and all of that stuff. But when I get halfway there, maybe the forecast winds, the actual winds aren't what was forecasted, and so now I have to adjust my course. The same thing as you're talking about, Myra, in business, you have to, and Conroy was saying it too, you have to pay attention to the indicators as you're going along. One of them is communicating with the employees, the actual people that are on the front lines doing the work. But there are other indicators too, McLaughlin. I know there are other indicators, physical and mental, as well as all the profit and loss statements and balance sheets and all that. Give me a couple things that you look at when you say, you know what, I have to tweak this a little bit. Let's make sure that it's going the way I think it's going to go, because I don't want to have to keep tweaking it. Although sometimes we do, right?
Yeah, that's important. I mean, what gets measured gets work done. The data is really important. And at the same time, if you're working with humans, you have an entire system, a sentient being that is constantly measuring, constantly adjusting, constantly doing all these things that you don't have the metrics and the data for. You don't get a little data spit out sheet that says, all right, this person's under a lot of stress right now, and they're not going to be good at leading their team because they're so stressed out. So you have to be fully aware of, I'm going to call them the non-tangible tangibles, the things that affect your team and affect your outcomes that aren't necessarily hard numbers. And so that can be the attitudes, the stress levels, the amount, the volume of work that a lot of people do. If somebody's working, you know, if you're supposed to be working 40 hours a week and you're there for 60 plus or more, then there's something wrong. Either that person doesn't have the help that they need or doesn't know how to do their job effectively, or they're just completely overwhelmed and they don't know. They're barely keeping their head above water. That's not going to be somebody that's going to be putting up really good positive numbers that move your organization forward necessarily. And so learning that human factor, that the ability to read people and to see where they are in their lives and in their workplace, and how engaged they are. If you look at it, I think it was the Harvard Business Review. There's been a bunch of them, Bloomberg. they're constantly looking at what is the cost of disengagement for organizations? And it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars annually. And so if you want to talk about hard numbers, that's a pretty darn hard number. And that's just lack of engagement. So if you can't tell that your employees are engaged or disengaged, that there is an issue. That's going to take you not just one degree off. That's going to take you 180 degrees off of where you want to go if you don't have an engaged team. So you got to be aware of the human aspect of getting that team going forward.
Communication is an amazing thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I always thought, and I've changed my thinking on this, I've always thought that the human aspect of it is what we've called, or what I used to call, the soft skills of leadership. But I don't think those are the soft skills. I think they are the absolute bedrock skills that you need as a leader to effectively lead your team and attain the goals that you have set. So in that vein, Sam, how often should we be checking these indicators to make sure that we're still on course?
How often? There should be, I'll steal from Conroy, you know, communication should be constant, consistent, and ongoing.
Yep.
So we should have a decent sense of how people are doing. It was popular a couple of years ago, this notion of quiet quitting, which was basically people doing the bare minimum of their work to get by. Okay, it's very simplistic and cognitively lazy to say, oh, these people just don't want to work. They want to work. They're showing up. They're doing the bare minimum because that's all that's expected of them. What can you do to help them actually get motivated to do slightly more, whatever it might be? And it's that motivational piece that's not a result of throwing more money at them. It's treating them like a whole human being and having conversations with them and how to engage them in their work differently. And I continually say, if your people don't want to work, it's not on them. I'm not 100%. Ask why and start to do some introspection.
Right. Yeah. What? Jump in there, Conroy.
No, I 100% agree with everything he just said. You've got to be in communication with the people because it's ongoing. You can't just one day show up and say, so tell me what you think, because they don't trust you.
Right.
You haven't built a relationship with them. They don't know what you're going to do. They're suspicious of you. But if your modus operandi is to have open, honest communication and to help provide clarity both ways, it's the magic sauce, man.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You're just the example, you know, if the boss only shows up when things go wrong, you don't get to show up when things are right because there's going to be a huge suspicion. So being consistently available is a huge piece of the puzzle.
Nor do you get to take credit for when things go right.
Right.
You know, a good leader will always say, thank you for saying that, but it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. You know, I say that all the time. When I was CEO, it was, I'm just the figurehead. I'm the face. I don't do the work. I mean, these guys are working their butts off and they deserve the accolades and they deserve the rewards. Oh yeah. I'm just the pretty face. I don't care what Jair says about me.
So, and it is a pretty face indeed. Pretty indeed. And smooth.
Indeed. So Myra, we're supposed to, as leaders, not supposed to, we need to, right? As leaders, we want to be effective. I don't think I've ever met, certainly I never had the thought that as a leader, I wanted to go to work and be horrible at it. I was trying to reach the goals and help other people reach their goals and stuff. And so we have to constantly, as we've been talking here, pay attention to what needs to be adjusted and maybe even reset targets or maybe even reset the destination. So throw out something here that will help the leader that's listening to us here today go, okay, that makes sense. I need to make a change and maybe I need to start here.
I absolutely love the aviation example, if you will. And it made me think, sometimes it's clear sailing. Sometimes you can see for miles and there's not a cloud in the sky. And then there's sometimes when there's big storms coming and you act differently when things aren't going well or when there's potential trouble, when COVID shows up, when the stock market crashes, when you lose a key player.
Yeah.
That's when, as a good pilot, you have a guide, right? You call into flight control or whoever. I don't know. I've never flown a plane.
But
there's somebody you can talk to that'll help you get through those times. And they're tougher times. correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but if you're flying in great weather and you're watching your altimeter and all those good things, all the things that tell you're on the right course, that's relatively simple if you're a good pilot.
Yes.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward, yep.
But when you have zero visibility and you have to fly by the instruments and something just isn't right, who do you reach out to?
I didn't even think about that analogy, that the folks in air traffic control, ATC, are the coaches, quote unquote, to help the pilots. The FAA says that the pilot themselves are the sole decision makers for the safety of that flight. However, they pay attention and most of the time follow the directions of the controller, of the coach. But that doesn't mean they have abdicated their responsibility for the safe conduction of that flight. They're just using someone, to Myra's point, using someone to help them. Yeah, they're the coaches. And I know we're getting towards the end here, but that brings up the question. I wonder what the coaches had to say when the door blew off that plane the other day.
I think, oh, crap was up there.
Yeah. I was going to say something more strongly worded, but yeah.
It's a new year, so I'm trying a new me.
Yeah. And don't you think and I don't know what they said either, but one of the things I think that is important is that was, and Sam, I think you brought up this point, that's one of the things that they never thought was going to happen. They had a challenge that was immediate and dire, and whatever they did worked. The adjustments they did worked, right? Because they got the plane back on the ground. Nobody got hurt. All those things. So they had this huge adjustment they had to make that wasn't anywhere close to the destination they were intending to go to, but it turned out okay. So yeah, there's all kinds of analogies we can put in here. Geoff, jump on me, buddy. I know you're on a short rope here a little bit today, which is really cool. Give me some parting thoughts.
Oh man, parting thoughts. Do yourself a favor. When it's cold, bundle up, watch out. Although it is warmed up. I'm now at only -9, so that's not bad. That's pretty good. But do yourself a favor and invest in yourself. Invest in your skill set so that you can be the leader that you need to be so that you can keep your team on course. And I know that seems a little bit selfish, but you know, you just had the analogy of a coach, man. I can tell you right now, let me see here. I have a health and nutrition coach. I have a jiu-jitsu coach. I have my fitness coach. I have my business coach. So that's four coaches right there. You don't do it on your own. You've got to have somebody else looking out there because you're in the midst of things. You don't necessarily see it. My son, I'm at a wrestling match. He has his wrestling coach. His coach sees things that he cannot see because he's in the act. And so that's the value of the coaching is they are going to look and listen and ask good questions. That's my biggest thing.
That's excellent. Sam, one of the things you wrote down here is leadership is like flying visual flight rules, VFR, where it only works if you've got line of sight to your people. I love that.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me more, Sammy. Come on. I didn't know you were a pilot, brother.
No, I did a little bit of studying and got close to the solo. And then it was a question between, do we invest in a crib for a brand new baby or do I go fly a plane? So we decided to invest in a child. So using that metaphor in terms of the flights and the change, there's no way that a competent pilot, like when you're studying, when you're under somebody else's leadership or competent air traffic controller, is going to allow you to crash and burn because they just don't care. Not a competent one. There may be a jackwagon out there who's going to allow it, but not when somebody's trying to do their job. So as leaders go, even if they are 1 degree off and after an hour, you're a mile away, they're going to say, didn't see that. So how do we correct? How do we fix it? If they lose their minds and just fall apart when they're just a little bit off over that time, that's not a leader. That's just a reactor. So the leadership then comes in and says, okay, we were off. Let's try to do that again. And how do we get back on track? And you can set some calm and some, you know, good disposition. Like I'm guessing the professionals did when that door blew off the plane. Yeah, a few people had their bones slurped out into the atmosphere, but most folks were okay. So, all right, this is bad. So let's land this thing and figure it out.
Ooh, great point, Sam. That's a good one, too. And let's use that. Well, the door blew off. The first question was not, why did that happen? The first question is, what do we have to do now?
Yes. Right? Yep.
And we can assess what we need to change later. Conroy, give me your thoughts. Sam, good one, buddy.
Again, I'm going to go back to the communication thing. You'll see things coming before they become a crisis. If you're constantly checking your matrices and checking your numbers and talking to your people, crisis averted. But with the airplane, yeah, I don't think it was, how did that happen? I think it was, our training kicks in, our experience kicks in, and we need to keep the people safe. This is what we are supposed to do. I think leaders do the same. Our job is to protect our people, make sure our people are safe. So if we're communicating and we're keeping the eye on the matrices and we're communicating with our team when things are going good and bad, to use the airplane analogy, it's smooth sailing.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure sailing's a boat thing, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Myra, take us home on this episode.
Using the airplane analogy, just keep the train on the tracks.
Yeah.
Shut up.
I think that Sam just did it for me. I mean, that is the most important thing, is that you end up where you're headed. And if you're having, as a leader, if you're having problems understanding why you're off track, or if you feel like you're going off track, or if you landed in a place that you never wanted to be, consider coaching. Consider the flight controller analogy and how that could help you make the small adjustments, see things that you may not see coming, and end up where you wanted to be in the first place.
There you go. Wow. This has been a great episode, and I want to give you now the frequencies you need to dial into your radio to get a hold of the flight controllers here at the No More Leadership BS podcast. Oh, I love that. So the first one is, here's the first frequency you need, is our email address, which is askus@leadershipbs.com. And you can say, if you were flying, Sam, you would go, okay, that's askus@leadershipbs.co. And the controller would go, read back correct. The second frequency is, send us a text message at 986-213-0621. That's 986-213-0621. Yeah, and I probably should, you got to say niner somewhere, right? That's 10-4, good buddy. No, that's a different analogy. That, now we're on the, now we're on the,
now we're on the
truck or something.
Yeah, now we're, that's next episode.
So leaders have to change and adapt. Who knew? That brings us to the close of this episode. We know that you're going to have to adjust, and now you know it too. And when you need help, you need a little somebody to maybe see stuff that you can't see, reach out to us. We would love to help you. For Myra, Dr. Sam, Jeff Geoff, McLaughlin, and Jeff Conroy, I'm Jeff Geyer. This has been the No More Leadership BS podcast, and we'll see you next week. So long, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Have a good one.
Better back.